know what the key was. Well, welcome to Peninsula Baptist Church. You know, it's nice to be back home again. You know, we get the home things on these little round things, get to listen to. You know, that's good stuff. Appreciate Peninsula Baptist Church. And for those of you that don't happen to know me, I am a missionary with American Missionary Fellowship, and my territory is covering Southwest Washington. So I get to show up down here occasionally and have a little bit of fun doing it. You guys, I want to thank you, first of all, for taking care of us. Okay? You have blessed us with your prayers and with your finances, and that's always a good thing. And I don't know where the calendars came from, but man, they're cool. So I got one in my office, and we got one in the front room so we can keep track of things so we don't get lost. But American Missionary Fellowship is our nation's oldest home mission, for those of you that don't know that. Started out in 1790 as the American, or the Philadelphia Adult and Sunday School Union became the American Sunday School Union. Some of you may remember that. And then in 1974, it changed to the American Missionary Fellowship because we no longer work just with Sunday schools. We now work with all kinds of stuff like cross-cultural ministries. I happen to be a prison chaplain, jail chaplain. I love what I do. It's fun, but it has its ups and downs too. I might mention to you before I dig in here too far that there is a very strong threat that Nacelle Youth Camp will be shut down. And I would covet your prayers. I've been cut back on my time that I can be there, and I can only be there on Saturdays now, which makes it really difficult to get everything done that I need to get done and to reach these kids. So I would appreciate your prayers for that. I am chaplain at the Nacelle Youth Camp, so I'm there on Saturdays only. I'm also chaplain in Yakima, and that's where we go after the service today. We go to Yakima because I have to be there for a meeting at 9 o'clock in the morning. So I'd appreciate your prayers for that, too. You know, we travel around a little bit. But hey, I get to take Kate with me. So that's kind of neat. Let's begin by word of prayer, and I'll invite Kate to come on up here. She's got a little story we want to share with you, and it might blend in a little bit with what I was trying to say. Let's pray. Father God, thanks so much for your grace today. And as we open up the Word of God, pray that your Spirit would guide us and that you might minister to each one of our hearts and help us to see that we can really make our plans around you, and we'll give you a praise in Christ's awesome name. Amen. Oops, okay. Oops, don't step on it. Okay, Kate has a story of Ty, and some of you may remember Ty when he was here with us, so let her tell you. It's off.
I don't want to listen. The conversation started with two donuts. I'd gone to the store. He was in the car. I decided, well, I'll buy a couple donuts. This is not gonna work.
Yeah,
well, I was, you know, I don't tell it to people who love the Lord very often. It's usually the story of, you know, how do you get a teenager to do what you want them to do? And I teach school. It's not the world's most accepting of Christian talk. They appreciate Christian values a lot. They want you to teach their children. The parents love it when you care about them as people. But, you know, you're just not supposed to, you know, you're supposed to be the old, you know, they watch you, but they don't want to hear what you have to say. And anyway, so this is a great story. But it starts with two donuts in a bag, and I went shopping. He was waiting in the car. We just gotten him from his mom. And he pretty much failed at everything. She is still a very demanding person, things had to be her way or no way. He learned how to count to 100 when he was 3, because if he did something she didn't like, he had to stick his little toes underneath the edge of the couch and do 100 sit-ups. He was shocked that I would teach kindergarten and only expect anybody to learn how to be able to count to 30. He says, well, of course, everybody. It's his expectation was, you know, this is normal. Anyway, we walked up, and I said, here, I bought a couple of donuts. You know, I like both of them, but I'd like you to choose which one you like, because I want to, you know, wanna share. And I was, you know, been at our house a couple of weeks, and was still kind of feeling things out. And he opened it up, and he had a favorite, I could tell. And he said, no, you choose first. I said, no, you choose first. And somehow I sensed that it was kind of a, you know, testing time, I guess, between us. Just, you know, Larry was off doing something else and just us. And so we went and we said, and he said, no, you choose. 3 or 4 times, I said, no, I will not. You must make a decision here. You must choose a donut. And to me, I'm thinking, why is it so important, Lord? Why? And I didn't know, but I just knew it had to be. So he said, okay. And he pulled out the Boston cream. And I said, okay, I'll take the other one. It was a blueberry. I like blueberry. And I said, this is really good. You know, have a bite. He said, you're really going to let me eat this, aren't you? And I said, why? Wouldn't your mom? And he said, no, right about now, she'd be saying, that was really my favorite. Why did you take it? And I thought, you know, his expectation is failure. His expectation is that he's not going to be good enough. He's, whatever decision he makes is going to be the wrong one. Whatever it is, he is, you know, he's going to be made to feel and know that he isn't deserving. And you know what? That's what Larry's sermon's about today, because we don't deserve it, but God has plans for us that are way beyond what we know and what we felt, whatever we've experienced. They're different.
You know, this lady puts up a lot with me, and I, you know, I put her up here on the spot, but you know what? I'm proud of this lady. You know why? She stuck with me.
And you even get to choose a donut.
Yeah, I even get to choose a donut once in a while. You know, that story kind of, the reason I wanted that story brought out is because we often are products of our training. Am I incorrect with that? We always act according to what our training has been. So with that in mind, we're often deceived in our own hearts to believe we can cover up things with half-truths or even outright lies. So we're going to be doing a little bit of digging today. Let's look at a portion of scripture that's found in Psalms. We'll look at it in a minute, but I think I need to get some groundwork established. So I begin first with our predicament. This is our mess. This is where we're at. And it's found in Genesis chapter 6, 5 through 8. I'll read it. This is the New Living Translation. I'm just going to read a couple of scriptures here. The Lord observed the extent of human wickedness on the earth, and he saw that everything they thought or imagined was consistently and totally evil. So the Lord was sorry he had ever made them and put them on the earth. It broke his heart. And the Lord said, I will wipe this human race I have created from the face of the earth. Yes, I will destroy every living thing and all people and large animals and small animals that scurry along the ground and even the birds of the sky. I'm sorry that I ever made them. But Noah found favor with the Lord. You see, the judgment that came down was handed down because the pre-flood era was bad. And God said, I'm going to save Noah. Now, in order to bring Noah, he had to bring along some other people too. So he actually, his sons and their wives and his wife came along for the ride. The reason God didn't destroy the earth was because of one man, Noah. It's a very important statement. I say that because sin shows up so soon afterwards. We find it happening that, you know, some things happen in the same chapter or in the same book. They're all human and they're all subject to the law of sin, as we all are, correct? We all struggle with it, okay? So let's look at another section in Jeremiah for just a second. Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10. Again, this is a New Living Translation. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Yep. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward a man according to his conduct, according to what his deeds deserve. I don't know about you, but I don't know what I want to get what I deserve. See, we're all prone to follow sin that easily grabs us first in our mind and then in our actions that lead to sin. So, if we can catch the reality of the psalm we're going to look at, I think it will forever change us. So allow me to read to you Psalm 139 in the New Living Translation. I'll use a different translation, but I think this is important because it gives us just a little bit different picture. O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say before I even say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you're there. If I go down to the grave, you're there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell in the furthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me would become night. But even the darkness I cannot hide from you. To you the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of the sand. And when I wake up, you're still with me. Oh, God, if only you would destroy the wicked and get out of my life, you murderers. They blaspheme you. Your enemies misuse your name. Oh, Lord, shouldn't I hate those who hate you? Shouldn't I despise those who oppose you? Yes, I hate them with a total hatred. Your enemies are my enemies. Search me, oh, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Said a little bit differently. So let's take a look at Psalm 139. And I'm going to go ahead and use the New American Standard updated version. You know, you can use whatever you'd like, but I'd like you to follow along if you got a scripture with you. That'd be nice. Psalm 139. He starts off with the first verse and says, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. Now, first thing I want you to notice, that's past tense. You have searched me already. You have known me already. It's an already done in one sense. My heart, in other words, is an open book before God. Verse 2. You know when I sit down, when I rise up, you understand my thought from afar. You see, God understands my every action. He understands my every thought. That could be quite scary if my thoughts were running away about this time, right? How about texting in church? You know, why do I mention that? Because I see teenagers doing this in church. They aren't paying any attention at all to what's going on. Okay? I don't know whether anybody's here is doing that. Excuse me. But so We can't hide from God any of the thoughts or actions we have. That's the point. So our first question on your sheet, if you're filling them out, is how's my thought life? Do I entertain thoughts of God or sin? What am I thinking about? See, we can't be two-faced here. Thoughts lead to actions. Good thoughts lead to good deeds. Bad thoughts lead to bad actions. So I need to watch what I think. Verse 3 says, you scrutinize my path and my lying down. You are intimately acquainted with all my ways. To scrutinize means to examine, dissect, or analyze. God analyzes my path. He knows everything about me. When I think that God not only sees but analyzes everything I do, boy, that should change me, shouldn't it? Second point on your outline there is God is looking at my motives. Huh? He's looking at what's driving me to do things, my motives. There isn't anything that I can get away with before God. You ever figure that out? I've tried, and it just doesn't work. Okay? We often think that we're so clever covering up our sins. We aren't that clever, honestly. If God is intimately aware of all my ways, how intimate am I with Him? See, that's the question. Do I need to confess some of my ways? See, God is relational. He wants relationship. He wants a good relationship with us. Even before, verse 4, even before there was a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together. If we really believed that the Lord knows every word we're about to say, we would be a lot more careful about the thoughts we have, and therefore the words we use. God even understands my meditations, my thought life. Am I fixing my thoughts on inappropriate websites while I'm on a computer? I'm not messing with anybody that I know of. So, you know, Pastor David didn't say anything to preach on, but I just happened to think about this. You know, I deal with some people in ministry who struggle with this issue. Next point is there's nothing hidden from God, period. Nothing is hidden from God, period. You can't hide anything. We can try, but we can't. You know, folks, I guard myself like a hawk. I'm sitting there watching just to make sure. I don't trust this old man. Because the old man can goof up, right? The old man. Maybe we should stop here for a minute. You know, time of confession, because some of us need to confess. We're not going to get to that. But the whole idea is, I don't trust me. That make any sense? Verse 5, you have enclosed me behind and before. You laid your hand upon me. If you're a true follower of Jesus Christ, then His hand of blessing is surrounding and guarding me in all your ways. In other words, next point, God is in control. Do you believe that? God has me continually in His sights. You know, He's always got me, always looking, got me. Our problem is we want to be in control, right? Darn it. Things always go best when God's in control. Duh. Okay? We shouldn't go around in fear. We should walk as though God was walking with us, because He is walking with us. Verse 6, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's too high. I cannot attain to it. You see, we have difficulty wrapping our minds around the fact that God knows everything and He is in control. We have our difficulties with that. He is in control. He's in control of the political direction of the United States. He's even though I may not like what's going on. He's in control of everything that happens to me, even though I have a disease or a handicap or something. God is in control. Let me give you an example from my fire department. I'm a chaplain with the Klamath Fire Department, and we had a volunteer firefighter who had a unmarried girlfriend, they had a 2-year-old son. The 2-year-old son, during nap time, got out of bed, crawled into the swimming pool, and drowned. All the firefighters responded because they know the address. That impacted the whole fire department. And we had what we call a debriefing. And the family was there. And during counseling, you might say, discussion, the other guy that was working with me on a debrief said, you know, if you two would get married and build your life together, not on your failures, but on the opportunity to help somebody else who loses a child. They got married. And they're now able to reach out and touch somebody who is struggling with the loss of a child. It's a great example, but you know, their tragedy became a blessing to help somebody who loses a child. They're able to minister. I don't know whether they know Jesus or not. But the point is that they can help somebody else. You know, sometimes our minds just don't wrap around those kinds of things. Verse 7 and 8, where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you're there. In other words, you can run, but you can't hide. You ever tried to hide? Doesn't work. God knows everything about you. He knows everything about me. We can climb to the highest mountain or dig to the lowest hill, and God is there. Big word comes up. It says God is omnipresent. That means that God is everywhere present. Even where I think I can hide, he's there. He's watching. We cannot escape God. Try as we may, we just can't do it. It's impossible. Verse 9 and 10, if I take the wings of the dawn and if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me and your right hand will lay hold of me. You know, wouldn't it be nice to get off to a remote island someplace, get away from all the rush and the hubbub and that stuff? That's where I'd like to do that at some time. You know, get away from all the sin. Boy, it'd be nice, wouldn't it? Trouble is, I take it with me. You see, folks, you remember I said I guard myself like a hawk? I limit my TV time. Maybe I'll briefly watch Fox News or maybe some local news or something like that. But, you know, that's about it. I don't like what TV does to me. How about the ads? I mean, even mute doesn't work on the ads. So I have to watch myself. I don't give myself the opportunity to go wandering off with my thoughts. I'll take off and go play. What's that game, Freddy? Free Sale, oh yeah. Free Sale, Solitaire. You know, I got something to get me. I just got to get out of there. Okay? You know, there's comfort in knowing that God is always leading and guiding. There really is comfort in that. And when I get out of line, he lays his hand on me to bring me right back to do the right kind of stuff. Verse 11 and 12, if I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me and the light around me will become night. Even the darkness is not dark to you, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. Things we do in the dark are in full view of the Lord. It's as though he has night vision goggles, okay? He can see everything at night. But the trouble is, he sees it in perfect technicolor. He sees everything. I don't know. We can't hide from God anywhere. I don't care what you try to do. We can't hide from God. We try. It doesn't work. If we really believe that God is omnipresent, would we do the things we do in secret? Huh. See, there are no secrets from God. No secrets. You think you got secrets? Uh-uh. The sooner we get this clear in our mind, the sooner we'll begin to act in a way that pleases God. No secrets. Verse 13, for you formed me my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. Each person is unique. Are ZZ and Nate the same?
No.
Nope. Nope. We're unique, aren't we? See, every one of us is uniquely formed by God. That's cool. I don't think there's any two people exactly the same. They may have similar characteristics, but boy, they ain't the same. If you could change one thing about how you look, what are you saying to God? You're saying, God, I don't like me because you didn't give me height. Or you gave me too much weight. Or you made me have one leg shorter than the other one. You know? So I walk. I don't. Handicaps, whatever. Hey, folks, be satisfied with what the package you've got. That's the only package you get. Okay? Verse 14. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows that very well. God made my shape. God made my hair color. My eyes. He made me who I am. We should thank God for how he made us, folks. We forget to do that. You know, I thank God that I didn't have the height. I thank God that I don't have the breadth. I thank God that I have 2 feet that still work. Yeah, it's hard to get up off the ground when I'm down. But, you know, that's just old age. But I'm very grateful for what God has given me. You and I are made exactly like we're supposed to be. And we should take care of what he's made. We shouldn't take in more food than we can actually burn off in a day's work. We shouldn't put illegal substances in the temple of God. Now, I'm still trying to lose 20 pounds. Okay? I don't know when it's going to happen. But I'm watching it. Okay? My frame was not hidden for you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. You see, God put all the pieces together of me exactly like he wanted me for his glory. Hey, folks, can I give you a website if you're web savvy? Check out the website called Life Without Limbs. Life Without Limbs. You know why I say that? Because Nick has no arms and only a little flipper for a foot. God's using him in a mighty way. He's made just like God wanted him. No hands? No arms? How can he hug his kids? How can he have kids? I don't know. I think all the parts are there. In the middle. Just not the extremities. So if you think about it, his story relates to people with handicaps. And he's speaking all over the world to people who are in poverty and struggling and in orphanages. The guy's having a great success. Who'd ever thought? You get somebody with 2 legs and 2 arms, they don't have nearly the effect. He goes into mental institutions and they hug him. You know how he hugs? He uses his neck. Interesting. Life without limbs is a good one. So are you ready for this one? Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book they are all written, the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. Are you ready for this? God saw my form before I was conceived. Wow. I'm made just like God wants me. He had all my features planned out. Okay? Now, why do I have short hair? The picture in the hallway is not good. We're going to replace it. But, you know, why do I have short hair? I work with teenagers. I don't want them to know I got gray hair, okay? When I discovered how he shaped me, I took on the role planned for me, and it's called chaplain. I'm a chaplain with juveniles at the current time. I also am a chaplain in Yakima at the Yakima DOC with adults. They called me back to work in Yakima. So I do a lot of traveling. And not only that, he has every day planned out for me. Wow, that's good. Do I want to do what God has planned? All I have to do is follow his directions. You know what almost fails? Read the directions. You know, I don't have a Bible up here with me. But, you know, he only left you basic instructions before leaving Earth. Use them. God, you know, we may think we're so smart when we plan out our days. God has so many days and steps ahead of us. He's got it all planned. You see, I can't be under control without God's control over me. Sin habits don't just disappear. They take discipline and prayer, a lot of it. Those verses say volumes about the abortion issue too, folks. There is sanctity of human life. God made life, gave it to us. You can look again at verse 16. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance. And in your book they are all written. The days were ordained for me, when as yet there were not one of them. Interesting. Sanctity of Life Sunday comes up next month, I believe. Roe v. Wade. 17. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I could count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I'm still with you. Can you imagine how great thoughts God has of you? See, God has me on his mind continually. It would be an impossible thing to calculate. We can't even fathom what God thinks of us. When I wake up in the morning, I'm secure in God. You ever have any trouble sleeping? Count your blessings. Devil will let you go sleep right away. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God, and depart from me. You know, there's change here for some reason. Depart from me, therefore, men of bloodshed, for they speak against you wickedly, and your enemies take your name in vain. I listen to that all the time, folks. I'm a chaplain in the fire department. Okay? Do I hang around with evil people? Do I laugh at inappropriate humor? Yeah, I struggle with that one too. Do I laugh at the wrong things? Verse 21. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? Do I not loathe those who raise up against you? I hate them with utmost hatred. They have become my enemies. It would be appropriate to hate people who hate God, but we should try to influence them towards God and not join in with them. I can imagine that there are things in the church hall that probably aren't appropriate. We need to be watching those. Now the conclusion of the psalm. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. God, I want you to look at my heart and search me thoroughly. You know how I have these troubled thoughts. You know what makes me anxious. Root it out. God knows our struggles. Let him search your heart. 24. And see if there is any hurtful way in me, and lead me in a way everlasting way. You might want to close your eyes and ask yourself a few questions. Hey, God, is there anything I do that's harming or displeasing to you? Harmful or displeasing to you? Or is something I need to confess is hurtful to our relationship? Now just think about it for a minute. Let's get to the application. Applications, first one is, I can't get away with anything before God. Period. Can't get away with it. Okay. I need to adjust, second one, I need to adjust my thinking this year, or maybe I need to adjust my attitude. And the last one is, plan with God looking over your shoulder. Let me end with another scripture. God has great plans for us, but we often fall into the ways of the world. Jeremiah 29, 11 through 14. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in a future. Then you will call on me, and I will come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart, and I will be found by you, declares the Lord. For 2010... we need to walk with Jesus. We don't need to depend on our past to set our future. We need God to set our future. And you have the conclusion of the whole matter on the bottom of your sheets. Go with God. Go with God's plans for 2010. You know, the elders and Pastor David are always willing to pray for you if you want to come forward and spend some time with one of the elders or that you're more welcome to after that last song here. Let's pray. Father, you've sure been good to us this last year, and we don't know what the next year holds for us, but you're always there. You're the one who has all things in your control, and you are awesome and holy in what you do. Thanks for Peninsula Baptist Church, and I pray that you pour out your blessings on these people, that they might be good stewards of your word, that they might be able to reach out and touch a lost and dying world for Jesus. We will give you the praise, because you're an awesome God. In Jesus' name, amen.